The reading today comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, found on page 958. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marvelled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. It's not only lovely, it's really encouraging to see you. Thank you for being here. Part of the purpose of the church is about encouraging one another, not only for ourselves, but encouraging each other. And so as I look out and see you and see people who I know just little snippets of your life, it is so encouraging to see you here with us, seeking to encourage each other to faithfully follow the Lord Jesus and trust in those things that Steve talked about at the start. At the start of 2024, who would have thought that there would be the Bondi stabbings to take place? Who would have thought there would be devastating flooding in Spain? Who would have thought there would be an earthquake in Vanuatu? Liz and I would never have thought that our dog would be paralysed last year for 3 months, needing full-time nursing care by Elizabeth. As we begin 2025, we don't know what's going to happen, just as we didn't know those things were going to happen at the start of last year. We don't know what's going to happen globally, nationally, locally. We don't know what's going to happen in our relationships. We don't know what's going to happen with our finances. We don't know what will happen with our health. We don't know what will happen to Christians in Australia in 2025. So it seems appropriate as we start a new year to hear from the book of 2 Thessalonians. Lachlan, Matt and I will preach a chapter each from this book, reminding us what it means to live in the present as we think about the future. Just a bit of background. Paul had visited the city of Thessalonica in Macedonia on what is known as his second missionary journey, and he only stayed in the city something like 3 to 4 weeks. But in that time, people had come to trust in the Lord Jesus, and a small church had been formed in the city. And yet opposition to Jesus and those who began to follow him were there. And the small community urged Paul and Silas to leave. They left, but concerned for the safety of these fledgling Christians, Paul sent Timothy to find out how they were faring in the face of hostility. And after a while, Timothy brought back news that they indeed were standing firm. They were trusting in the Lord Jesus, despite the persecution that they were suffering. So Paul wrote what we know as 1 Thessalonians, the first letter to the church, to thank God, to encourage the believers, and address some issues that Timothy had raised about the church. And probably only within a month, or maybe 6 weeks, Paul received further news about the church. And so he wrote 2 Thessalonians. Paul again thanked God that the believers were continuing to trust despite suffering. And he addressed some of the issues that had been raised as a result of his first letter, which Lachlan and Matt will take up in later weeks. Paul thanked God again that the believers were continuing to trust despite suffering. As I begin speaking this morning, I want to say 2 things. If you listen to the reading that Kathy did, I admit my discomfort in preaching this chapter, for I have not suffered or faced persecution like the Thessalonian Christians had. And yet this is God's word. And God's word is useful and applicable for all of us. And secondly, I want to acknowledge some people have been helpful for me in trying to think about this. People like Don Carson and Gary Miller and John Stott. Growing in Christ in 2025 by building on what God has already done in our lives. In his first letter, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians' faith and love and hope. In that first letter, we read in the first chapter, in the first couple of verses, Paul wrote, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And then writing only a brief time, maybe 6 weeks later, Paul again thanked God for them, now in his second letter, in the first chapter that Kathy read, in verses 3-4, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring." Their faith and love and hope, which came from trusting in Christ, was producing more and more growth in faith and increasing love. Paul had prayed for their growth in these things in the first letter, and now he saw that God had answered their prayers. Rather than extinguishing faith, rather than suppressing love, opposition had actually led to more growth and trusting in the Lord Jesus. A man called Watchman Nee, who lived in the 20th century, he was a Chinese leader, told of two Christians, who cultivated paddy fields located halfway up a hill. They watered their fields during the heat of the day, but at night, farmers with fields down lower dug a hole in the irrigation channel so that the water from These brothers' fields flow down to water their neighbours. The Christians noticed what had happened but said nothing. They patched the hole and continued to water their land. For 7 successive nights, their neighbours stole water. The brothers endured the theft in silence, but increasingly became unhappy within, maybe even bitter. They went to another Christian, a Christian brother, to seek his advice. And he told these two, "You're unhappy because you've not gone the full length. You should first irrigate those other farmers' fields and then irrigate your own." The brothers listened. They returned. For the next several days, they watered their neighbour's land and then their own. And to their surprise, their joy returned. The neighbours actually came to them and apologised and said, "If this is Christianity, we want to know more about it." Faith and love will lead to outcomes. Faith and love will lead to growth. The genuineness of those two Chinese Christians' faith and love led to joy returning. The genuineness of the Thessalonians' faith and love led to perseverance and endurance. Paul has an expectation. He had an expectation of Thessalonians, and he has an expectation of us. His expectation is that genuine trust in Christ will produce quantifiable growth. I'm encouraged by a lady who, through COVID, wanted to do more for Jesus. Her faith and love led her to write to prisoners who had become believers in prison and encourage them through what she wrote, but also encourage them in Bible study. Can you look back over the course of the last year and see God growing the faith and love he began in you, that he planted in you when you trust in the Lord Jesus? Can you look back and see quantifiable growth? What evidence will you look for of growing in faith and love in 2025? As I think about that for myself, I realise how easy it is to become comfortable and lazy. What I would like to see, and it's always dangerous when you say something in public, because people may hold me accountable, that I would like to faith and love be expressed in growing more thankful to the Lord Jesus for everyday life things. And I would like to become more intentional about bringing Jesus into conversations. It is so easy for me just to let things slide. What will you look for in 2025 as evidence of growth in faith and love? Or can you see growth in others? Will you, like the Apostle Paul, thank God for the growth you see in others, but also tell them that you thank God for what you've seen? Growing in Christ in 2025 by looking forward. We look back, looking forward to Jesus coming. Paul said in verse 5, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering." Paul uses the words "all this," implying that the Thessalonians' suffering and the way they were handling it also were both indications they were in God's kingdom. Their suffering and the way they were handling it were indications they're in God's kingdom. What a contrast to today. We see suffering as bad. We see it as unfair and unjust. I don't want to suffer. Even Christians can be tempted to say, where is God in my suffering? And yet Paul reminds us that suffering for following Jesus is to be expected for believers. But suffering doesn't make us worthy. Paul's not saying that we suffer, therefore that qualifies us for the kingdom. But rather, Paul sees grace as such an astronomical gift that suffering for following Jesus is very small in comparison. In an article I read by Tim Keese, he spoke of a Bangladeshi man. His name is Jaru, J-A-R-U-H. He became a Christian in his mid-20s. When that happened, his Bangladeshi family kicked him out, and his family held his funeral because now he was dead to them. He was kicked out of his village, and in that communal context, his prospects of a job and for getting married were all over. It hurt deeply to be rejected by his family, by his friends, by everything that he had known. And Tim Keast asked him, why, humanly speaking, would you go through this much trouble? And Juru replied, there's no one else who could take away the weight of my sin but Jesus. He had a perspective far bigger than this life. It was more than life in the present. It is so easy to live with life in the present rather than having a bigger view of life. And Paul also assures us that God's justice will repay those who cause suffering and bring relief to those who do suffer. He says in verses 6 and 7, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. We live in a culture overall that does not take Jesus seriously. The idea that Jesus died for others, that he's resurrected and that he's returning is just irrelevant to our culture. Yet Paul says the Lord Jesus will return, and when he does, there will be a separation. In verses 9 and 10, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marvelled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Just three brief questions. Who are separated? Those who do not know God or obey the gospel, because they stand outside the gospel that can save them. It's a tragedy that those whom God made in his image and whom God died for, or the Lord Jesus died for, will spend eternity banished from his presence. What will their punishment be? Paul says, the appalling nature of hell, which is everlasting destruction, which is being shut out of God's presence forever. And when will this happen? when the Lord Jesus returns, which no one but the Father knows when that will be. Here is a wake-up call. A wake-up call for followers of Jesus. It's a wake-up call for those who are apathetic about others hearing the gospel. And it's a wake-up call for those who are apathetic about taking following Jesus seriously. And Paul uses this as both motivation for telling the gospel and encouragement for God's people not to give up. For when the Lord Jesus returns, those who trust him will see his splendour, and his splendour will be revealed and displayed in his people. See, God sees a bigger picture than what we do. The reality is that we do not experience persecution like those in Nigeria or in North Korea. And yet some of you will experience persecution through snide comments, through being shunned, through being accused of being narrow or intolerant. In the face of ridicule, we're encouraged to keep trusting Christ because of all that will be ours in eternity. This is folklore. It's not real. But there was a folklore of a pioneer missionary who led his first convert to Christ. But the converted man was tortured to death by his own people group. Years later, when the missionary himself had died, he met this martyred convert and asked him how it felt to be tortured to death for Christ. The man looked at him for a moment and then replied, "You know, I don't remember." Suffering is real, but Paul offers God's perspective for both the present and the future. And even though I have not suffered like those in Nigeria, the scriptures remind me that I'm to keep trusting the gospel and keep trusting the God that knows all that happens. And lastly, growing in Christ in 2025 by praying to live for God in the present. In the light of Christ's impending return, Paul prays for the Thessalonians. He tells them what he prays for in verses 11 and 12. "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul prays for God's power to help them live out their desires as God's people. He prays for power for you to live out your desires for God's honour. Notice what he doesn't pray for. He doesn't pray for safety. He doesn't pray that the persecution will stop. He doesn't pray that everything will work out. Rather, Paul prays that God will bring about what they desire and attempt at God's people. In other words, he prays that things would spring from their faith and love and hope. It's a rebuke for me. It is so easy to pray for my family, that God will look after my family. And that is right to do. But if that's all I pray, I miss out on what Paul says I should be praying for. There are better things, or there are things alongside praying for their safety, praying that their desires, what they want to do as followers of the Lord Jesus, would come to fruition. Based on faith, love, and hope. Hope being the assurance of the future. What do you want to attempt this year for Jesus? What do you want to accomplish this year that Paul encourages you to pray for power to do? Again, as I think about that for myself, to have a new attitude to holiness. To take seriously about ridding in myself things that do not honour the Lord Jesus. To pray for developing relationships with neighbours. And that I may marvel at the Lord Jesus and see his beauty and attractiveness more this year. You know, there's nothing like opposition or attack that make us desperate for God's help. That makes us desperate praying for his strength. And without that, we become weak and insipid as Christians. We begin to live mundane lives. Paul, even though he wrote to the Thessalonians, is speaking to us this morning. This is God's word to us. What does your faith and love and hope, the assurance of the future. What is it that God is growing in you, having planted those through trusting the Lord Jesus? What quantifiable growth will you be able to look back on this year and thank God for because of growth in faith and love? What do you want to attempt? What is your desire for God's goodness, for God's plans that he's placed in your heart? And what will you pray for his power to actually work towards that? You know, I am hopeless with computer games or games that our kids play on the TVs with remote controllers. I just press any button, hope it's the right button. But one of the things you can do with that, you can always start again. You can have as many practice runs as you want. Paul says, this life is not a practice run. This is the real deal. How you respond to God's word today is how it will determine the rest of your life. Let me pray. Amen. Our Father, we're grateful that you search our hearts because you know what's inside of us, because often it is hard to actually express what is inside. But it's also challenging that you search our hearts because you know what is genuine. You know what is real. You know what we're actually pretending about. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus, You have placed our faith in him in us. It is a gift from you. We thank you that the love of God shown to us in the Lord Jesus, you have placed in us. And we thank you for the life of the Lord Jesus, whose death defeated death and assured us of eternal life. You've placed in us. Now, Father, as fledging followers of the Lord Jesus, as people who go up and down, who are inconsistent, please may we grow in faith and love this year. Please may we take following the Lord Jesus and trusting in his goodness and his love and allowing your spirit to produce his fruit within our lives, we pray. Amen.